Welcome to Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen with Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio, a show to help you get from where you are to where you truly want to be. Now here's your host of Get Unstuck and Make Shift Happen, Jennifer Grace on Empower Radio.
Two beautiful Denmark and Sweden, beautiful, beautiful countries. The people were so gracious. I mean, everywhere we went, you know, whether we were trying to figure out how to get on a bus or a train, you know, we would stop and ask these people. And not only would they stop whatever they were doing, they would also bring us to the proper track or, you know, show us and then like half get on and show us where to get off. I mean, they really went out of their way to be so in service. And it really just blew me away. And what also really blew me away was the men. They were so gentle and kind and just kind of had this vulnerability and open-heartedness. So I will say the men and women in Scandinavia, I think they really get it. And I know that their governments are very good to them and they give them lots of time off for vacations and treat them very well health-wise. So it really shows. It was such a reflection of the country of people that are well cared for are caring. So hopefully we can have more of that in our country. Today I am very excited because I have not only is she a dear friend of mine, but she's also a colleague of mine, a really brilliant woman who's not only a psychologist, but she's also a coach. And I think it's just so interesting to blend that kind of traditional psychology with that modern coaching, you know, because we really need both. When we are moving forward fearlessly in our lives, I always tell, you know, my students and my listeners that there are two journeys. There's the transformational journey, you know, that coaching journey, that forward motion journey. But then there's also that healing journey where you have to go back and you have to look at what has occurred to not continue those same self-sabotaging behaviors and go to maybe the darker places where you can heal from trauma and grief and work through anger and sadness so that you are able to utilize transformational tools. And so when I met Eileen and learned about her work, it was so mind-blowing because she really married the two. You know, I'm somebody who's like, I just do transformation and then I've got lots of healers in my, well, I don't think I have a Rolodex anymore, but in my iPhone, in my database that I refer my students to. But she has been brilliant enough to just really integrate it all. And so, let me tell you a little bit about her. Eileen Nunez has extensive experience as an emotional healer with a positive psychology perspective and modern coaching background to introduce a leading edge technique to making the healing process, get this guys, a fun and light journey to happiness and joy. And I think that's where we all run in the other direction from the healing journey because we don't want to, you know, take the carpet and look under it and deal with the trauma and the grief and the sadness. But she has found this really innovative way to make the process of healing a light journey. And in her over 20 years of experience and over 20,000 client hours in private practice, she has formulated this very unique method to help so many people find a way of just really living out the life of greatness that they have envisioned. She is passionately excited to share this groundbreaking technique with all of you today, my listeners. How lucky are you all? And her philosophy is, why can't healing be fun? So Eileen, welcome to my show. How are you today?
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you so much for the introduction. I'm doing amazing. I'm so blessed to be on this show with you today. I'm so happy you had such a great time. Last 2 weeks traveling all over the world. I know how excited you are about that journey. And so I'm so graciously thankful for you having me on the show today.
Well, thank you so much. So what you're doing is really interesting. It's very different. It's very unique. What had you come to that moment of insight where you thought, huh, healing could be fun, you know, because we don't hear this normally. What had happened for you in your practice where you had that moment of insight?
Well, really what was happening for me, Jennifer, is that I was realizing how much of an impact children were having during play therapy. That's the way that we reach out to kids, and that's how we get them to open up and to discover what it is that they're going through and the challenges that they're going through in their own life's journey. And in realizing that when I would get into their space and being able to communicate at their language, through play, through art therapy, through, I mean, literally we sit on the floor and we just have fun. And in playing these different games, they share, they open up, they express, they tell it how it is. And I realized that if kids are doing this and we were seeing so much progress between what the parents were seeing at home and the observations that they were making, the teachers were so much happier with the child's performance, that definitely, this is something that if the kids are doing and they're doing so well and there's so much progress, I began to incorporate it in working with adults. Because a lot of people will just send their kids and say, here, I need to fix them and I don't want anything to do with the process. And it was like, no, mom and dad, no, I need you in here too. Let me show you how fun this can be and how it's not about looking at, I mean, we all have a past or a history where something not so nice has happened to us, and diving into it and realizing that it's there, it's in the past. We don't want to look at it. We don't want to understand what happened. We don't want to even be reminded of it. When we go in through in a playful, joyful space where we can actually look at it and say, huh, oh, okay, that's all that happened. Not a big deal. Let's continue to move on, because at the end of the day, I'm still here today. So whatever happened that was so horrible or was interpreted as so terrible, if we approach it in a lighter, in a more forgiving, in a more, in a softer sense, to be able to actually connect to that emotion and understand that it was a necessary journey that you went through, that we got to get through, in this process of play, in this process of enjoying the process of healing, people tend to finish their work. So it's not like all of these different jobs that we have where we start something and we don't finish, right? All of the unfinished business that we all have hanging around somewhere. This is something that people were diving into and actually wanting to finish the process, and were excited to see what the next step was going to be, so that they can begin to live a life without the trauma, without the experience that they kept hanging around with. That really wasn't necessary. It was important to emotionally process and then let it go.
Right.
Because that doesn't define us.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, it's such an exciting and rewarding job now that people get to see how important and how easy healing can be, so that they can continue on their life path and journey to greatness.
Yeah. So many people just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to touch it. And they just want to stuff it inside. And, you know, one thing that I always share, which I'm sure you have the same perspective, is, you know, that causes disease. I mean, we know that 80% of our physical ailments are caused by unresolved emotions, you know, and
Absolutely.
People think, right, I'll push it down, I'll push it down, I won't think about it, and then I'll self-medicate, whether it's a glass of wine, it's a Xanax, whatever they're doing, right? And unfortunately, when trauma goes unresolved, it manifests into different diseases. So, you know, we can't just think we can throw everything under the carpet. And I love that you're creating this new option, that it can be explorative, it can be playful, fun, and discovery. And, you know, also, you know, people are going to go there, but it doesn't have to be so painful and that suffering that people think, you know? So that's extraordinary.
Exactly. Well, one of the things in working with kids, for example, instead of calling it homework, you know, because I would assign things for them to do in the interim between one session and the next session, rather than calling it, you know, homework, which they already have assigned from their own school, is that we would call it fun work. And they loved, you know, being excited about doing their fun work and coming into their following session and expressing how they were able to do their fun work and how excited they were about putting into practice what we were learning in the office. So taking it outside.
I love that fun work. Yeah. That's great. And you know what I call mine? I call, because I hate that homework word. Like nobody wants to do homework. So for my students, I call it soul work.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So that's a good remix of fun work. So before we dive into the fun part, I think it's really interesting to look at the different levels of healing. You know, I know we had talked at one point and you were sharing with me that, you know, almost like the levels of grief, the levels of healing of how you move through different emotional states to reach that purposeful, joyful, you know, experiential way of being in the world. Could you kind of share the different stages with my listeners? Because I think it's important to know when you're dealing with a trauma or you're dealing with some sort of episode in your life that there is kind of like a pattern, right? That you go through different phases to get yourself out and under it. Because some people get stuck in a stage, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, in the work that I've done and that I put together, I call it my four magical steps to healing with joy. On the first step is to access the awareness. The most important part of this journey is to understand what has gone in the way of you having this ability to achieve what it is that you want. If it's coming through an emotion of sadness, if it's grief, if it's anger, if you're holding on to resentment, a lot of times I will ask questions as to who's in your mind, who's in your thought, whose words are you hearing continuously giving you orders and telling you what to do, and where's that coming from? Because
right.
The more awareness you have, then it's part of this whole process is that you've got to feel like you're in charge, like you've got the power, and you've got the power to heal yourself, and you've got the power to come out successfully feeling empowered in this journey. So step number one is always going to be to access the awareness. What is going on? And a very powerful question that I ask my clients time and time again is, if you woke up tomorrow and your life was perfectly how you wanted it to be, what would your life look like? And all of this is, again, we use a lot of mindfulness exercises, journaling, meditation, very powerful ways of reflecting and seeking the information that you have bottled up inside that has been stored
right.
for a very long time.
Yeah.
That really needs to come out and needs to resonate for you so that you can identify, oh, okay, that's what's going on.
Right.
Because the fear of the unknown or the not understanding is really impactful for the individual.
Mm.
The second step to that would be to redesign the thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. We want to start canceling out all those negative thoughts, and we want to begin to replace them with positive thoughts. We want to see that what was happening to us was not necessarily so awful and begin to understand how that served a purpose and how it was helpful for us to understand that because it happened to us in the past doesn't necessarily mean that it's a pattern that has to be repeated. But like you said a little while ago, that's the tendency that we have. We think that it's what's going to continue to happen to us. But we want to cancel that. We want to change and shift that. The next stage of this process would be to have clarity and vision, mm-hmm. so that as you're preparing this journey, you want to know where you're heading. You want to know what's going to empower you. You want to be able to face head on, if it is fear, you know, come on, fear, let's have it at it. You know, let's go ahead
right.
and dive into confronting, you know, and befriend fear and befriend the emotions of anxiety and resentment and understand that these have all been ways that you have used to cope. So they were just
right.
coping mechanisms. They were just there to help you out in the process. And then finally is the action to drive, action to to finally take this life that you've envisioned and what I call fear to freedom, really coming from this place of letting go and really diving into this new future, to the big doors that are open right ahead of you that you have designed to finally take yourself to the next level and leave that healing process behind you so that you can begin to take on the new life that you've dreamt of, that you've envisioned, that you have created for yourself. Mm. It's a very powerful four-step process.
Yeah.
And I'm giving an overview because we're going to have the free tools on my website. So definitely listeners can go on to www.eileennunez.com and find the free tools on the webpage. And they could go into it in detail. It's really dissected in there for the listeners to have a good idea of how to do some of this work.
Awesome. So let me ask you about guilt, right? Because okay. I've been coming up against that a lot with students lately, that they feel guilty that whatever it is that's happening, that they're taking time for themselves, that they feel guilty. Like my friend was here the other night and she did this incredible transformational weekend and she felt so guilty for leaving her cat because her cat was sick. And this one feels guilty for leaving her children. And, you know, I keep hearing this guilt come up. You know, how do you directly work with guilt? What are some tools?
Well, guilt is definitely one of those emotions that we have been carrying for a really long time, Jennifer, because it's a tendency that we have of picking up a lot of the same behaviors and what was role modeled to us as children. So if our parents used guilt in order to make us do certain things or even in school, you know, I mean, we're filled with guilt from all over the place. And guilt is something that we've got to come to terms with understanding where it came from. What was the origin of guilt? And what would happen if that guilt wasn't there? What kind of decisions would you make differently? Because many times we are living our lives, but we're not living our life. We're living what other people's expectations of us are. And in this place of understanding, well, you know, I really wanted to go on the workshop and, you know, the fact that my cat, you know, as long as you leave your cat attended or your children attended, bottom line is it's got to be at some point a determination where you can take care of you because the best version of you is going to be the best version for your family, for your pets,
right.
For everybody around
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And so really releasing the guilt and realizing that it doesn't serve a good purpose in your life anymore because it's not really you enjoying your life or being able to live out your life. It comes with the expectation of people around us. So it's really important to be able to
right.
determine what is yours, like what belongs to Jennifer. How come you're going through this experience? Is this something that you really want to put yourself through or is this something that you're putting yourself through because it's what you think you're supposed to do? And
right.
so it's a very powerful work to determine what belongs to you and what belongs to everybody else.
So journaling is probably a great tool for discovering in that, I would imagine. You know, is this
oh,
my guilt or is this the guilt that my ex-husband or my father or my partner or somebody that like their view of my action? You know,
exactly.
is it that they would look down upon this or is it really my own guilt? Is it my mother's guilt? Because, you know, mm-hmm. I've noticed that people that carry the guilt, they had parents that really guilt tripped them and lived with a whole shroud of guilt around them. And, you know, they call it the Catholic guilt, the Jewish guilt. You know, it's like part of culture. Like if you don't feel guilty, then you're not caring.
Right.
You know,
and it's interesting
and I think
because
that's a really big distinction for people. Like you could still care but
right.
not feel guilty. Like I care that I'm not able to be there in this moment for my children, but I'm not going to hold guilt around it. You know, I can just be
right.
with caring, you know, and loving. I still can be loving without feeling guilty. If people kind of equate it that, you know, it's carelessness. If you don't feel guilty, then you don't give a, you know, I'm not allowed to curse on this show. I always almost do that.
It's exactly so, true, though.
So how can we have fun with guilt? This I want to hear, because I am like, this is so
heavy.
Well,
making fun,
you know?
Having fun with guilt is, again, it's challenging that guilty conscience. It's understanding, you know, where is this coming from? Was this mom? Was this dad? Was this my friend? And really diving into a very intentional and deliberate act of determining that the guilty conscience is not going to consume you anymore. First, so for example, somebody who, I know for myself, it was really difficult for me years ago to have a spa day and to think that it was okay to just indulge in a nice massage and just, you know, spend the day out by the pool and really just take time to myself without the four kids and the husband and the family and everything else. And so what I thought was important was for me to make the intention to spend a day out in the spa and not allow the thoughts of anybody else to come into my day. So it was a day of journaling. It was a day where I would write. It was a day that I would just engulf myself in enjoying the whole event, having the glass of wine, having the mani and the pedicure. I mean, all of these different events that happened in that one day that I decided to do for myself. And that's really what I encourage clients to do, is for them to design a day or several days. I mean, it doesn't have to be once a year or once a month, or just really come with the intention that they're going to spend a day doing what they love to do, and that they're going to have power over their thoughts, that when other people's ideas or thoughts or impressions come into their mind, they're going to cancel that and they're going to change it into something positive that makes them feel good.
Got it.
And the more we begin to do this, because it feels so great, the more you begin to do this, the more you can cancel those guilty feelings and those guilty thoughts that in the past, you know, were really harmful for the individual.
Mm. And so you would then coach people to just indulge in guilty pleasures?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See, that's fun.
And that's part of the fun work. Yes. Yes. It is part of the fun.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the spa day, because guess what I'm doing today? I'm having
a
free spa day.
Yay!
Standard
for
hotel.
You.
So
awesome.
If anybody listening, it's not too late to jump on in and have a guilty pleasure. Take off work. Call in sick. You know, grab your bathing suit and come on over. I'm going to be doing a fearlessness, how to overcome fear and stop obsessive thinking, which is right up your alley, Eileen.
Yes.
workshop, and that will be from 1 to 2:30, or this evening from 7 to 8:30, and it includes a free spa pass at the Standard, which is like a $75 value. So if y'all want to come
on
in, we'll be there. You should come, Eileen.
Yes, sounds like a great day. Wow.
So let's see if Eileen could use her own tool. Now, what do you have planned today, Eileen?
I've got like seven clients.
And not feel guilty.
I would have to cancel. Yeah, I would have to cancel 7 clients today.
Ooh,
and head on over
not.
To the Standard. Yes.
Say, well, I'm just doing my own, you know, fun work. I'm so sorry, but I have to be your leading example.
Exactly.
They'll have to understand it's an experiment in guilty pleasures.
I love that though.
Well,
guilty
I would
pleasures.
Love to hear
I love
some
it.
Fear fun tools, because I'm going to be sharing this whole workshop on how to work with fear, overcome fear. And the approach that I use with fear is definitely not, I wouldn't call it fun. I think the spa day is fun, but I'm sure I have a lot to learn from you. You know, what I use with my students and my clients is mindfulness, being in the present moment. Because so much of our fear is this kind of imagined future of, you know, what if I lose my partner? What if I go broke? What if something happens to my children, right? And we have these racing thoughts, these obsessive thoughts, and it causes all this fear and this stress and anxiety and worry. And yet
it's not happening in the present moment. It's imagined. But the problem is, as you know, your mind-body connection doesn't know. It can't decipher the difference between an imagined event and a real event. So, you know, that fight or flight instinct, that racing heart, right? And that wanting to run and flee, that can be created just with our minds. And so, for me, what I help them do is different anchoring practices that anchor them in the present moment where peace lives. Cause right here, right now, unless a saber-toothed lion is chasing you and we don't deal with that anymore.
Exactly.
There's nothing to fear in this moment. So, you know, I use all different techniques around mindfulness tools to really overcome fear and anxiety. How can this be more playful, do you think? What would be a way to add some playfulness with this?
Well, one of the things that I like to use when working with fear is to help the individual understand that fear is their friend and begin to create a relationship where fear hasn't been something bad, but fear has actually been around to kind of keep them in check, kind of reminding them that exactly what you said. I mean, fear is something that hasn't happened. Fear is either the use of information from the past, which we again understand that it doesn't have to reoccur just because something happened to us in our past. Doesn't mean that that's exactly how it's going to continue to show up and that the future hasn't happened. So in using the mindfulness meditation or in the mindfulness exercises that you're talking about, Jennifer, you're right. If you can stay in the moment and realize that fear can be your friend and that fear is not necessarily something bad unless you give it that connotation or unless you give it that power. And playful exercises are to determine, you know, where is it that you do have your power? Where is it that you do not allow fear to manifest any power over you or to block you or to stop you or to keep you stuck? Because you're getting your power back, because you have your power back. And staying in the peaceful moment that you've described helps us to understand that fear will not have more power over us unless we give our power away. So it's a way of understanding that we do have the capacity to make it better for ourselves. When working in terms of the playful, like if we're doing an exercise in the office or we're doing an exercise in the coaching group, one of the things that I love for clients to do is to draw a moment that they felt a lot of fear, to draw it on a big piece of paper,
right,
and then grab a black crayon and just cancel it out. And so with the black crayon, they start stroking very, very vigorously and harshly on the paper and change that so that they feel like the black crayon and the dark color in the that they're putting on the paper, that they're putting over this drawing that they've created, no longer has any power over them. And it's a very emotional exercise. It starts with, it's playful, it's fun because we're drawing
and coloring.
We've got crayons.
Right.
Yeah, and we're on the floor a lot of times and we're just, drawing like we used to when we were little. But then, you know, being able to take that black crayon and just canceling it out and saying, you know, no, that's who I was and that's what happened, but that's no longer who I am today. Very powerful
that.
Exercise using art therapy. Yeah.
Art therapy. Wow. Yeah. Because this is how kids, because a lot of times they can't express themselves verbally. And then they do the drawings and they do the color and then you can see very clearly from what they've chosen. And that could be an interesting thing for adults too. You know, I just went through this really interesting leadership training development work called the gratitude training. And it was designed, and this is right up your alley. God, I'm so excited that I'm connecting the dots for you here. And you definitely should do this leadership training, Eileen. You would love it because what they do is they use games for transformation.
Wow, so, those are great.
Right? So you play these, some of them are very psychological games and strategy games and, you know, transacting, you know, like, acting improv games. And so you're playing all these games and you don't know
what's on the other side of it. You're just given your instructions and you've got to, and sometimes no instructions, and you go in and you start playing the game. And then once the game is over, you look at how you showed up in the game. And the way you show up in the game is the way you show up in life. So
that's really powerful.
Mind blowing. And you're sitting there and they're reflecting back to you. Well, you know, I can't share or divulge, because obviously if I tell people about the game, then you'll have a pre-notion and you'll know how to play the game, and then you don't get the learning. So it's really important. Like, we're all kind of like sworn to secrecy. We can't, you know, tell anybody who hasn't gone through the program about the game. But, you know, I just think that that's, you know, right up your alley with games, you know, with, it is fun, but it's a way, then you step outside of yourself and you're like, how did I just play? And why did I choose that? And how does that keep showing up in my life? You know? So, kind of going back to your art therapy, I'm sure that would be interesting, you know, besides that crayon and that practice and that exercise, to look at, you know, what did I draw? Because it's so, we're not using that like linear mind. We're using the creative mind, and, you know, the itty bitty beep committee that lives inside of our head isn't in charge. We're just being creative. And then all this stuff must come out for you to, you know, not overanalyze, but reflect, right, with your client to say, look what you just drew. What do you think that means? And they had no awareness, right? Because they were just in play. Yeah. Wow.
Exactly. Very, yeah. It's definitely so interesting. And the awareness that the individual gets, like you said, Jennifer, you know, what colors are they using? Where are they pressing the crayons? Why did they go back to that particular event? How is it that, you know, something that happened so many years ago is still so present in their mind? It's so impactful to understand that what we think is blocked memory or information that we really don't want to connect to, in actuality is something that becomes very present in our thoughts and in our emotions. And when we can finally come to a place where we can understand, oh yeah, that's what's been hanging around for all this time, then you get to decide, well, I don't want it around anymore. You know, that really, you know, doesn't suit me anymore, because that's not who I am present day. That's who I used to be. And to really give people this permission that they can recreate and reinvent themselves. And it's a positive thing. A lot of times I talk to clients and they'll talk to me about, well, no, you know, I've got to stay doing this kind of work because that's, you know, that's the only thing I've done. I've done that for 2 years or 6 years. And, you know, imagine if the new employer sees that I'm going into a different route, or I'm going into a different type of work. That's going to seem like I'm unstable. And to me, it's like, no, that just means that you're reinventing yourself and that you're actualizing into new opportunities. And so, again, you know, our society has this very linear way of trying to put us in a box. And what's happened is that people aren't happy in the box anymore. And so they're looking for ways. That's why your workshops, you know, people are looking for people like yourselves that, you know, are going to coach them through different ways of managing their life so that they feel more successful and they feel more in charge, because society really is not doing that for us. And so in the work that you do and the work that I do, people are looking for options that are different from what has been introduced to them up to this point.
Right.
So really, really a lot of growth and a lot of actualization, and the fact that they want their kids to go through these different steps and this different process is also so enlightening, because they really see where it hindered them and they want something better for their own kids.
Wow, that's amazing. So grief, fear, what's next? Anger.
Right. Anger.
Anger.
Yes, that pressure cooker.
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting. I talk about this in one of my courses, that 9 times out of 10, what is under anger is fear.
Absolutely.
Right. And if we can get underneath the anger and really get authentic and vulnerable about what we are afraid of, all of a sudden, the anger goes away.
I'll never forget when I was designing my master level course, Creative Action Journey, I was working with Dr. Christine Kaisinger and also with my mother, Donna Jensen. She's been doing this work for 30 years, leading groups and counseling. She's amazing. And they were offering this to me as, you know, a tool of transformation to look at what's underneath anger. And so my mother said to me, you know, when was the last time you were angry? And it was really easy because it was the day before. And I had just picked up my son from summer camp. He was at like this snowboard camp in Portland where they have like 15,000 elevation. So there's actually snow in the summer. And this camp is like, it's a camp for children, not like for parents and children. It's a camp for children because there is no like 3 square meals. They have like this cafe that the kids have a credit card and they could just buy whatever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want. So I'm sure Cole ate like Skittles for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like there's no like management of the food. It's kind of interesting. They get to choose. And so he only goes there for a week and so trust me. But he has a blast. So he comes back and you could just see the dark circles under his eyes, you know, and just like, I think he was like getting this huge pimple and I just knew he was just so sugared up. And so I'm like a stand for a healthy meal. So we go to this restaurant and he's just like crossing his arms. He doesn't want to order a darn thing. And I'm like, you're going to eat something healthy. And he refuses to eat. Right. And then we leave. And he sees a McDonald's. He's like, I want McDonald's. And I'm like, you're not having McDonald's. We're going to find somewhere else. And he, for the first time, he was 13 years old. This is actually 2 years ago. And he just ran. He just took off running top speed towards McDonald's. And this is what I do. This is the funny part. I go like this. You better stop on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. And he just keeps running. It was like the first time 1, 2, 3 didn't work anymore. And I'm like, okay, Jen, he's 13. 1, 2, 3 may have worked when he was 4, but like, let's get real. So there we are tearing down the street in Seattle at like 10 o'clock at night. And it's just a power struggle and I'm losing. Right. And so I'm running and I'm calling his dad and we're like the best of friends, my ex-husband, calling his dad on the phone and going, what do I do? He's like, give it up. Just effing giving up. Let him have the freaking McDonald's. He's hungry. I'm like, all right, okay. You know, he's like, you lose. I'm like, okay, fine. And so then I said, okay, so mom, last time I was angry was yesterday when I was so angry at Cole, you know, for not listening to me. And she says, well, what's the fear under that? And I thought about it and I thought that I can't control my child anymore, right? That I have no more power with my kid anymore. And then she said, well, where else does control come up in your life? And I'm like, well, mother, I wrote a book called Directing Your Destiny. So I'm obviously an A number one control freak. I want to control everything and everything. And so she's like, journal about that, you know, and I did. And I said, and I really kind of softened with myself and realized how much work I had done and how I used to want to control everyone and everything. And now where I stand is, you know, I'm able to get off things really quickly. I'm able to be really generous with what other people's needs are and surrendering to not being attached to the outcome and, you know, just being in that space of not having control and being okay with that, right? But it is a theme that has run me my entire life and is still there for me. You know, I just went through this leadership development training weekend and of course, there I am. I'm always at the, you know, the big mouth, the leader, the leader of the leaders, you know.
The leaders.
And we were playing a game and we couldn't win. We just couldn't win. It's one of the coaches and my cohort, the other big mouth, right? The other control freak, Tom, me and him are there and we're bossing everybody around, right? We're telling everybody what to do because we know everything, right? This is who we are. So one of the coaches comes over and he says, mom and dad, like he refers us, like we're the mother and father of this group. And he's like, what would it look like if you just trusted this family? Like you just let go and trusted that they could figure it out.
Right.
Okay. So I
say fine. And Tom says fine. And we move from the front of the line to the middle of the line and we shut our freaking mouths. And guess what, Eileen? We won.
Wow.
The very next time we entered the game, we won.
That's amazing. What a
and
great story.
Like, boom. And there it is. So it's just, you know, I had so much fun learning that about myself, you know, and of course I was angry. I was angry at my group, but because why? I was afraid that I wasn't in control. And then when I let go of the control, magic happened.
Right.
So it's right. such a great inquiry for people to have this awareness, have these tools. And in the middle of their rage, in the middle of their anger, if you can catch yourself and get off of it, just step away, whether you leave the room, take in five deep breaths, you walk around the corner, you do, you know, stop, drop, and roll, do whatever you need to do mm-hmm. to even hang up, you know, get out of the conversation for a moment and then ask yourself, what am I really afraid of? It's really happening.
Right.
I'm afraid you're going to leave me. I'm afraid this, I'm afraid that. And then go back in and just share the fear. Instead of blaming
exactly.
and shaming and blaming and shaming and criticizing, right, and being in anger, what does it look like to then come in and say, you know what? You know why I'm blowing up? Because I am so scared that you're going to leave me. I am so scared that whatever, right?
Right.
And then
right.
nobody is going to fight back with that because you're being loving and caring and vulnerable and authentic. And it creates a space for the other person to do the same. And all of a sudden, now possibility, now transformation can occur.
Absolutely. That's yeah. a beautiful story. And that is so true, Jennifer. And one of the things that I have found with anger, and I express this time and time again, is that when we're angry, we're also angry at ourselves for putting ourselves
yeah.
in the situation. And when we get to that point of understanding, you know, I did this to me. I did this to myself. Like, this is okay. So I can release that now. I don't have to continue to place myself in these sorts of predicaments, because at the end, we're also losing out on allowing other people, like you said a little while ago, to be able to exchange, you know, who they are and to be genuine and authentic with us. And that does come with trusting. And we want to be able to trust that the people around us can be genuine in our presence, and that we don't make them have to be someone or something that they're not just because they've got to appease to us or to our expectations of them.
Mm.
So a lot of times the anger of understanding that we place ourselves in those situations and that we're angry at ourselves, that is, you know, it's part of this self destructive pattern that we utilize, is so positive when we can get ourselves out of that situation and not have to be in control, not have to, you know, make people do what we want them to do because we're afraid of losing them somehow, or we're afraid of losing the connection to them somehow.
Yeah. Wow. So what else can we do with anger? So we can look at it. We can look at what the fear is under it. What are other ways to help people, you know, because a lot of people are holding on to anger and resentment, you know, and I think forgiveness probably is another great doorway.
Absolutely. Yes. The forgiveness, forgiving yourself, again, for
yeah.
putting yourself in that situation, forgiving others for not meeting the expectation that you have of them, is also very powerful. Sorry that you are, you know, that you don't meet my expectations, that you're not what I wanted or what I thought you would be. Very powerful forgiveness exercises help to dilute and to dissolve the anger and the manifestation of anger.
Beautiful. That's so beautiful. You know, radical forgiveness. There's a book. Tara, do you know the book Radical Forgiveness?
I've heard of it. I've heard.
Yeah. I have to read it. Like, I have to read it. I'm not working with that personally right now. I've done a lot of work around it, but I've heard great things around her work, and I'm blanking out, but Radical Forgiveness. I was sharing on another show that Dave Asprey, the Bulletproof
guru, my guru, who I follow with my awesome weight loss plan, he was sharing a program with me called 40 Years of Zen. And what they did was they looked at the brain patterns of monks that had been meditating for 40 years, right? And then just a regular person coming on in and looking there at their brain pattern, right? And so how in 5 days you could get to the same brain pattern as a monk that's been meditating for 40 years was through acts of radical forgiveness, right? So wow. In this experiment, or in this 5-day process, and he told me it's like, I don't know, 10 grand to do something like this. And he's trying to biohack the price so he can figure out how to do this with people for not 10 grand. But what happens is they hook you up, your brainwaves, right? And you have to pull up what you are unforgiving about, whether it's towards yourself or others, right? And you play that in your mind, and you know, they see it on the screen, and then you have to start practicing forgiveness, radical forgiveness, where you are just in complete love and compassion, and you've let it go. Now, you know, somebody could say to me, you know, I've had my mom, right? She, and she's out about this. She's completely, in the movement of helping people move from incest to joy, which is interesting. I got to hook you guys up because she uses healing and joy as well. She was, a survivor, because we don't call it a victim, of incest from ages 8 to 12. So, I had to deal with this, right? My grandfather, who I never liked anyway. And when I found out when I was 21, the rage, you know, the fierceness I felt for protection from my mother, and how angry. I never saw him again after I found out. And then maybe like a year later, he actually died of cancer. So I had to do a lot of work around that. And if you ask me today, I would say, yes, I've forgiven him. And I've reframed this in my mind, and I've done work on it. Now, you can't fake it in this experiment, in this process, because you're hooked up to this brainwave. So if I was to say, pull up, you know, an image of my mind of my grandfather,
right?
I'm interested to know, what is my true brainwave? Have I really forgiven him? You know what I mean? Like, what does it look like? So you can't fool the computer.
Right.
And so you go through this process, and they're like, nope, still haven't forgiven them. No, but I do. No, you haven't. Look. And you got to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper until you really are like completely just broken open with love and compassion and no judgment and complete forgiveness. And then your brainwave matches that of a monk that's been meditating for 40 years. And
wow.
It's practice of radical forgiveness that gets you there. Fascinating, right? Isn't that fascinating?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Very fascinating. Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of work though to get to that point sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you're in there like day and night. Like, it's a really intense process, an intense experience. And,
but the outcome is beautiful.
It is. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Forgiveness. It's interesting. Like, I asked my mom, do you forgive your dad? And she has a different perspective on it. And she's in our world, and she's a counselor, and she's spiritual, and she's this, but she's also a survivor of incest, right? This is like a really messed up thing that happened. And she said, you know, she came out and she told her father that she, after 30 years of forgetting, she actually was 30 or 35 years old when she remembered, because she had blocked it out, which is a thing that many people do who've gone through childhood.
Many people, absolutely.
Completely yeah. do not remember. And what happened was she met a woman who was an incest survivor, and she started sharing her story with my mom. And she goes, you know when you meet somebody, and I'm from Brooklyn, right? And she goes, you know when you meet somebody, Jen, and they're from Brooklyn, and you immediately know, you're like, you're from Brooklyn. And you get it, right? She goes, that's how I felt when this woman was talking to me. I was like, wait a minute, this feels like I know this. And she went into our therapist, and I think she may have gone and done some hypnosis, and she got under, and she started, the memories started flooding back, right? And so she shared with her father on his deathbed, and he was an alcoholic, and she said, you know, this is what happened. And he says, well, I don't remember. And she says, yeah, I get that. But he never said he was sorry. And he never asked
for forgiveness.
Yeah, he never asked for forgiveness. So I say, you know, have you forgiven your dad? And she said, well, he never asked me. I've accepted.
Wow, that's a great response.
Right? I've accepted what's happened. She's like, I'm in full acceptance. I mean, she lives an extraordinary life. Beautiful, gorgeous, hot husband. She lives in a beautiful home. She does incredible work of service around the world. And she's a joyful being, really in her joy. You know, she's not holding on to anger and resentment, right? She's in acceptance. And whether that's a final step or a step towards forgiveness, it's definitely a much better place than to be in anger and resentment, you know, to be in acceptance of what is. And I love how she has taken this pain, you know, this atrocity that has happened to her. And instead of being a victim, you know, turns it into a movement. You know what she does? I don't know if I've ever shared this with you about my mom. She wrote a one-woman play, which sounds like your book. Not really, but the joy part. She says, you know, it's called What She Knows, One Woman's Journey from Incest to Joy, right? And she delivers this play. And you would think that she would deliver it to other incest survivors. Well, no, she doesn't. Who she delivers it to is boys as young as 9, you know, to 18 years old who've already committed a sexual crime.
Wow.
And she shares it with them. And for the first time in their lives, they go back to their clinicians and they actually cry. They feel empathy. And she does this. It's like an hour long kind of like monologue, one woman show play. And she is funny and poignant and touching, but she has taken her anger, her resentment, her fear, her rage and all of that and funneled it into creativity. And what does creativity produce? More joy. So I think we're going to need to add some of that to your book. What do you think? Creativity, funneling your rage into a creative act of service is a beautiful way to move towards joy.
It sure is. Very impactful.
I love that. Whew. So we have guilt. We have fear. We have anger. What's the last one again? Shame, like up. The,
no,
up
we
the
talk
ladder.
About sadness.
Sadness, sadness.
Yeah. The sadness, the losses. Yes.
Yeah, you know, turning that. It's so funny. I'm working with some people that are working with heartbreak, and that's. I don't know if there's anything more upsetting. I mean, of course, loss of loved one, right? Bereavement, but you know, they ain't nothing like being heartbroken. You know, I have woken up in those mornings where remember, I'm sure you've gone through a heartbreak. I know you've been with your husband for like a million years, but I remember like breaking up in a relationship and like the first moment that you wake up, like you're totally fine. And then you remember that they're gone and just you're just flooded with so much sadness. You're just racked, you know, and so. I'm working with a lot of people right now who are dealing with deep, deep, deep sadness of loss of relationship. And I'm interested, and we only have a couple minutes, but what's like a great takeaway that I can share with them some of your work that might alleviate that, you know, cause I'm like, okay, journal, meditate, you know, cause this is not my area. I'm just going to refer them to you. Screw it. But tell me,
but the surrendering process is so good. The surrendering, I mean, to surrender. And like you said a little while ago, surrender and allow. Allow yourself not to be consumed by the loss and to come to terms with, you know, how do they serve that person, the individual? And how is it that many times we don't want to be with somebody because there's so many things about them that we don't like or that we're not compatible with. So a lot of times when we're in the breakup stage or after the breakup stage, Jennifer, what happens is that we only want to see the things that were great about this person so that we can continue in the mourning and we can continue in that space of void and feeling lost. But looking at, you know, having a real good understanding, a concrete understanding of what are the things that you didn't like about this person? And can you continue living your life with someone that is such a disservice to you? Because we tend to see the great things because we want to stay in the sadness. We want to stay in that place of not feeling good. We're not doing this consciously, obviously. This is just the emotional state that we're in. But if you put on a piece of paper or you know, what are the things that really, really upset me so much about this individual that I'm not really sure that I want to be with them anymore, and really focus on that to continue to catapult your way out of that relationship and begin to find somebody that's more like you. A lot of times what I find when working with...
Yes. And that's a great thing to have them write down like all the qualities that they want in a partner and say, does your former partner have these?
Exactly.
No.
Great. So that's not your guy. Awesome. Just move on. Exactly. Exactly my point.
Meanwhile, we're like going over time. This week, I need to have you back on the show. Thank you so much.
I'd love to. Thank you.
Website one more time. What was your website? One more time, sweetheart.
www.aileennunez.com.
Beautiful. aileennunez.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much.
You're having yourself an amazing day.
This world. I love you. I love you. Thank you. All right, everybody. And we'll see you next week on Empower Radio. This has been Jennifer Grace with Getting Unstuck and Making Shift Happen. And this, my friends, is as real as it's going to get.